Alright. What's going on there, Senior Blood? Monday. It might be June 1. Let's see. Could be the 31st, I don't think. Yeah, today's June 1.
I got the blue Jeep. We tussle the cars between each other. We've been doing this for 3 years now because the air conditioning of this fucking Jeep is so expensive. And I know that'd be something you'd fucking probably be like, what the fuck? Life's too short. You know life's too short. So, I just don't have that kind of change laying around. And if I did, I'd reallocate it to doing some funner shit, parsing that thing out. But we'll get around to it. It's one of those we'll get around to it things. So the other day I got a receipt of thank you from, there's the Geese family up there on the ridge. They were hissing pretty hard at us yesterday when we were down here fishing for some fish and tadpoles. There they are, the little goslings are still asleep. I got that in the mail and I got her little note and then I got the card from her funeral, and there was a sunset, and on the back it talked about how she was everybody's friend. It was a really good quote. Very fitting, very nice little remembrance for Maria, and it just hit home. It's like, fuck, man, Maria died. She was 40. You almost died at 40 when you had your heart issues. I mean, that was, you were blocked up, and that could have been the end of the show right there. I think somewhere in you knew that too, and the ensuing 24 years after that was, you know, maybe gravy, not so much gravy. You had to go through a lot of shit during that time period, but at any rate, gas is going up again, the construction's humping, but more than that, I want to get back real quick to Maria. And the interesting thing about Maria is that somewhere in my brain, with our conversations and the way I knew her, it's not surprising that she's gone. As tragic and as quick and sudden all of it is, it's not one of those things where I'm like just in a complete phantom daze. I'm living on, you know? Even with you being gone, it's like, what are you gonna do, man? I mean, you have to, more than anything else, you have to embrace the notion that death is completely as much a part of life as being alive is. Just the way it is, and everybody's gotta move on. It's like with Austin being gone. Man, there's so much shit I'd like to sit down and fucking talk to about him, and he was comfortable, and he was funny, and he was a cool cat, and I miss him, and I know that Carrie does, and I know that his absence, especially in their family, is enormous, you know? But, fuck, man, we gotta just all keep moving forward the best way we know how. If there was anything I was gonna kick my ass about, was that I wish I would've picked that phone up more with Maria, and she actually said that after you died. She was like, you know, believe it or not, after death, I'm really good to talk to, which is ironic. Because now that she's dead, I'd love to sit down and talk to her about death. In life, and everything in between. She was always fucking good that way. She just was. She was a good person. A beyond person. She was fucking very aged, well-tuned, sincere soul. It's hard to see that she's fucking gone. At any rate, God, I'm just lost in that fucking thought, man. I start swimming in those noodles. Another fucking packed weekend with the fam, full of swimming and play dates. Oh, I will tell you one thing that was really cool. It was that Miles had a little play date, second play date in about 5 days with a little girl that was in his class charity. She actually has autism, but folks are delightful. Actually, the husband was he's an artist. Used to run cross country. Pretty motivated guy, you know. And the mom is a teacher, and Carrie sees eye to eye, and they get along really well. And it's just cool. It's like we went over to their subdivision yesterday, and Miles swam, and we sat around and talked. And it's nice when you're with parents that have kids with special needs. You don't have to describe anything. You don't have to worry that your conversations are going to get cut off midstream. And you just don't have to. When you start talking about how things are, it's not some weird thing. Everybody else looks at you like you're a fucking alien. They're all just fucking, you know, shit. The world just has no tolerance for anything other than, you know, average, regular humans. And it's like, you get these spectacular little beings that are different. They completely shine in a different way. People just can't fucking take it. And it's most people that are probably the, you know, the Christian lot that act like they're so fucking giving and shit. This guy here with the fucking black sticker, no peace, no Jesus, fucking smoking a cigarette in his little white Dodge. Looks like he'd fucking kick someone's ass right now if they cut him off on the road. I know, it's a stereotype and it's crass, but I've met these people. I've been around them. The weight of their soul is much less than the girth of their bumper sticker. There was one other thing in addition to that. Miles, let's look up back. I'm getting a crick in my neck. Oh, I was gonna tell you too that we got fitted for some windows, speaking of theology. And some sales guy comes in. Guy gets a ticket, he's late, he's pissed off. Starts laying this God rant down on me about how he's a pastor, he really doesn't need this job and all this shit. Tell you what, between him and there's another guy, this NASA dude, that came by a little while back to fix my freezer. I can't make fucking heads or tails of these motherfuckers with their shit, and they're fucking using that as an extra sales pawn. Anyway, I made the resolution that if those guys start cracking that open on me, I'm gonna tell them to leave my house. Let's see. Other than that, I think that's all I got. Could be more, could be less. I leave you, Joe Sr., with this.